China's growth continues to slow.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Kronos, HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. And by Figure, providing a streamlined digital platform for home equity loans. You can learn how to use the equity in your home for home improvement, major purchases, or debt consolidation at Figure.com.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. China announced its official economic growth figures this morning. The country's GDP grew 6.6% in 2018, about what outside analysts expected. It was the slowest pace of growth since 1990 for China. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak reports.
This latest figure came out just days after China revised its GDP for 2017, saying the economy grew at a slower pace than it had previously reported. That's no coincidence, says analyst Wang Dan with the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing.
We think the reason for that is to lower the comparison base, so 2018 number will look better.
But even China's statistics show its economy isn't expanding as fast as before, mainly because the state has been controlling pollution and risky borrowing. Add in the uncertainty of the U.S.-China trade dispute, and the Chinese economy is set to slow down again in 2019. But it's not all bad news, says analyst Wang Dan.
For investors in the energy sector, steelmaking, or infrastructure-related industries, it should be a relatively good year.
Ning Jizhi with China's National Bureau of Statistics says the Chinese economy is still strong. He says China has the fastest growing middle class in the world, bigger than the population of the U.S. Many foreign firms rely on Chinese consumers for growth, and China's companies and its people are buying more, just not as much as before, which is why the rest of the world is bracing for impact. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The Shanghai Composite Index closed up 0.5% after that GDP news. The FTSE in London is up 0.1%. U.S. markets are closed for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Generations of Americans have struggled with debt. You can add millennials to the list. Americans aged 18 to 34 are carrying, on average, as much debt as their baby boomer parents. In fact, a full 10% of them expect to die in debt. Janet Babin explains.
They came of age just as pensions became quaint. Many found their first full-time jobs in the backdrop of the Great Recession. It's no wonder that a recent Northwestern Mutual study found that 1 in 10 millennials expects to be in debt for the rest of their lives, says Emily Holbrook, director of planning at Northwestern Mutual.
Millennials aren't necessarily seeing kind of a light at the end of the tunnel and feeling like this is kind of a long-term state of affairs and kind of the new normal.
That sounds about right to 30-year-old Sam Ulrich of Atlanta.
It feels a little daunting to try and look 25, 30 years out.
The financial analyst says his wages are stagnant, his wife's pregnant, and his mortgage payments won't be paid off for decades. But as a millennial who's already paid off his student loans, Ulrich's practically a unicorn.
Our mortgage is the only debt that we currently have.
The study found that most millennials owe an average of $36,000, mostly from student loans and credit cards. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
The Transportation Security Administration said unscheduled absences reached 8% of its 51,000 officers. A year ago, that was 3%. TSA officers are among the 400,000 or so government employees who've been required to work without pay during the shutdown. Some workers outright said they were unable to come to work because of financial limitations, the TSA said.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Airtable, a platform for collaboration and creation. And now, a moment of creative inspiration. Starting in 1856, a friar spent nearly a decade watching peas grow. Today, Gregor Mendel is known as the father of genetics. Airtable, create your way. And by Progressive Insurance, protecting commercial vehicles and offering ways to protect small businesses from financial loss and liability. More at progressivecommercial.com. And by Constant Contact, whose marketing advisors work directly with small businesses for monthly marketing guidance, personalized support, and email campaign optimization. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Skiing, basically just sliding down a mountain, falling down a mountain for some of us. It's kind of basic. But tech companies are seeing an opportunity to make it faster, more fun, even more comfortable. Tech is working its way into everything from the skis themselves to the helmets, For some people, that's changing the nature of the sport. The Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie in Salt Lake City reports on what's gained and what's lost with all this new tech.
We're in a bustling ski factory west of the snowy Wasatch Mountains in Utah. Many of the workers here are dressed for the mountains. We're talking stocking caps and flannel, but they're hard at work crafting cutting-edge skis. I watch as wood and carbon fiber are smushed together in a giant red hot box.
Okay, so this is like the panini press for your ski sandwiches.
It is, yeah. I recommend not eating these, but yes.
That last voice belongs to Alex Hunt. He's the communications manager here at DPS Skis. In addition to carbon fiber that makes skis lighter, there are now helmets that let you take phone calls and listen to music, wearable tech that tells you how well you're skiing, even USB rechargeable heated gloves, boots, and jackets. Hunt says some of this is designed to make skiing more enjoyable.
Going outside in the middle of winter for most people is not a pleasurable experience. So, you know, by having, you know, the best equipment, you know, having warm gloves, having, you know, good goggles so you have strong vision, reduces all those negative things that come to mind when a lot of people think about, you know, going outside in a blizzard.
Of course, this tech comes with a price. Those skis cost more than $1,000. Those heated jackets cost around $200. And the wearable tech can set you back almost $300. James Lynch is the outdoor gear editor for Popular Mechanics. And don't get him wrong, he loves a lot of this high-tech stuff. But Lynch also feels it takes away from the struggle.
You lose a little bit of that break the West kind of vibe that for a lot of time has been part of the outdoor adventure, the, you know, pushing yourself and seeing what you're capable of.
But some people don't want to freeze their butts off on a mountain, or they want to go as fast as humanly possible down one, and they're willing to spend the money to do so. KD Market Insights looked at the growth of alpine ski equipment over 6 years, starting in 2018. It predicts that market will grow by more than 4% by 2023 to about $720 million. In Salt Lake City, Utah, I'm Nate Hedgie for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.